The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus said to his apostles, "As you go, make this proclamation. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, drive out demons. Without cost you have received, without cost you are to give. Do not take gold or silver or copper for your belts, no sack for the journey, no second tunic or sandals or walking stick. The laborer deserves his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, look for a worthy person there and stay there until you leave. As you enter a house, wish it peace. If the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. If not, let it return to you. Whoever will not receive you or listen to your words, go outside that house or town and shake the dust from your feet. Amen, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town." The Gospel of the Lord. Throughout this week, we've been focusing on the Lord's merciful love as announced through the prophet Hosea. On Monday, we focused how it has a clearly spousal key. Today, we see that it likewise has a paternal key. "When Israel was a child, I loved him. Out of Egypt, I called my son." But then we see, as most parents have learned over the course of their life, and those of us who exercise spiritual paternity will recognize many times over, that often that love, that mercy, is unrequited. "The more I called them," God tells us through Hosea, "the farther they went from me, sacrificing to these sex gods and goddesses, burning incense to idols. I drew them with human cords, with bands of love. I fostered them like one who raises an infant to his cheeks. Yet, though I stooped to feed my child, they did not know that I was their healer." That God was constantly trying to bind their wounds, even if they didn't understand the means he was using, even if they didn't grasp, for example, the sufferings in Egypt or in the desert. God was constantly trying to heal them out of merciful love. And so God was doing here in the 700s BC, before the Assyrians would come on in as part of that tough medicine to help them to cry out to the one true God, because their fertility poles wouldn't save them. Jesus would come to fulfill this prophecy. He called himself the bridegroom, and St. Paul commented that the bridegroom would lay down his life for his bride to purify her by water and the word. He came to heal his bride, came to take that bride back and make her, despite all her sins, sinless, blameless, and immaculate by the power of his merciful love, which is the greatest detergent for sins ever known. We likewise saw Jesus as the incarnation of the paternal love of the Father, as he described what that love means with regard to those who don't return it in the parable of the prodigal son, that the love never stops, and all that the Father really wants is for the son to return, so that that love can save and heal. Once we've really experienced that ongoing mystery, we can't keep it to ourselves, and we shouldn't. And that's what today's gospel is, as Jesus sends out the 12. Remember what Jesus would say after his resurrection to the 12 in the upper room. "Just as the Father sent me, so I send you." And we know that the Father sent the Son as the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. The Father sent the Son to show by physical healing this far greater reconciliation, this far greater healing. And so as Jesus was preparing them for that ultimate mission, on this the first time he sent them out, he not only put words on their lips to announce that the kingdom of God is at hand, that God is present. You don't have to look. He's all around you. That as he sent them out, he gave them his authority to carry out all his messianic deeds. Just think about this. As these men were here and cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, exorcise demons. These simple, simple people with all their flaws were being given these incredible gifts. The church is now given even greater gifts than these. Bring me down from heaven to the altar. Heal people's souls forever. Prepare them to cross into eternity. Baptize them and make them temples of my presence and my beloved sons and daughters and my spouse. This mission that is given to the church is to carry out what Hosea prophesied. To remind the people that God is their healer through precisely the healing that takes place. But this message is meant to have a particular packaging. Jesus describes it so that by our body language we don't contradict that kerygma. And each one of these criteria Jesus gave so that we would be able to be preaching in such a way that people could see the gospel even before they would hear it. So what were the conditions? Without cost, you have received, without cost, give. That we can't be doing it like everybody else for the money. Because money is the great corruption. Love of it destroys us much worse than any other type of the threefold lust. We're supposed to be showing a trust in God's providential care. And that's why he says, don't take gold or silver or copper, no sack for the journey or a second tunic or sandals or walking stick. God cares for us more than the lilies of the field, and we have to not just say it, but manifest it. Whatever town or village you enter, look for a worthy person and stay there until you leave. He wants us to be satisfied with what God provides. He recognizes that the whole proclamation of the gospel and is meant to bring about receptivity on the part of others. That those who receive us will receive him, and in receiving him, receive the one who sent him. So everything depends on our being willing to be able to be received. And if we're constantly looking for a better room, better house, better food, a place with ancient air conditioning, we're not going to allow all people to come to be saved. Because God's likewise working in the others. So that in embracing us and opening up their symbol abodes to God who works through his missionaries, they would be opening themselves up to eternity and entering into the kingdom. So we have to announce that by our behavior. As you enter a house, wish it peace. If the house is worthy, your peace will come upon it. If not, your peace will return to you. We offer peace first. We're offering peace to everybody. We don't wait for people to show that they deserve it. They may not be open for it, but we liberally pour it out before we know, because that is the way God's grace works. It comes first. Sometimes it'll be poured out, as we'll hear on Sunday, on hardened soil, and it won't penetrate, but we sow still the same. Whoever will not receive you or listen to your words, go outside the house or town and shake the dust from your feet. It'll be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment in that town. This is one of the most important principles in the spiritual life. Because we're so good at nursing our wounds that when people reject us, rather than looking at them with pity and mercy and love, a lot of the times we want to call down the fire and brimstone that destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah on the people who not just reject us, but objectively are rejecting God through us. And that does fill us with some righteous anger at the beginning. Because God created them and loved them and He deserves better. But Jesus wants us to wipe that dust off our feet so that we're not carrying that baggage to the next one. And as we're wiping off the feet, we can be praying that that dust will be a reminder that they are dust and they'll return to it. But God breathed in a soul and they have a soul, and maybe that rejection will have a self-effect turnaround. Jesus will give other criteria, but the main point is, as we go on out, we go on out living the gospel we're to proclaim and living it in its radical form, which is why our poverty, chastity, and obedience are so important in the midst of a world caught up in the threefold concupiscence. Today the church has the joy to celebrate the feast of the Chinese martyrs. 120 lifted to the altar by name today. These were ones who received and reciprocated that merciful, spousal, and paternal love of God. And these were the ones who proclaimed the faith with their words and with their willingness to die out of love for the bridegroom who had first died out of love for them. Whenever we celebrate the feast of a group of martyrs, we're always looking for somebody who will be the principal one of them all. The name. Normally, we look for somebody who encapsulates the character of them all. We look first for someone who received the gospel there. So one of the converts, the natives, rather than the missionaries. Of the 120 that we have today, 87 were Chinese of every state in life, and 33 were missionaries. One of the saints who would have been an easy selection would have been Saint Qi, or Chi, C-H-I. He was an 18-year-old convert. One night early, one very early morning in the middle of the night, some people caught him praying. And so they forced him to sacrifice to an idol, and he refused. Because of that, they knew that he was a Christian. So what they did is to torture him to try to apostatize. And they chopped off his arm. And once they did that, this 18-year-old boy said, "You can chop off my other arm and you can chop me to pieces, but no matter what you do to me, every ounce of my flesh and every drop of my blood will proclaim I'm a Christian." What incredible boldness from a convert that was. And I would love for his name to become truly famous, to inspire us all toward greater boldness. But instead, we name these 120 by Saint Augustine Zhao Rong. And he's one of the most beautiful stories in all of the church's history. He was a 30-year-old guard on one of these famous death marches. In his case, the death march of Bishop Dufresne, one of the missionaries. An incredibly long journey of hundreds of miles, along which the other soldiers were beaten, Bishop Dufresne, to a pulp. But what struck Zhao was just how Bishop Dufresne responded to all of that. He got up, forgiving his persecutors, trying to love them back, no matter how much venom they poured out on him. His incredible virtue under the greatest distress and martyrdom moved Zhao. And after he was able, with his soldiers' eyes, to notice who was following the procession and who were other Christians. So he went on over and basically asked, how does one become a Christian? They didn't trust him enough at first, but he was able to persuade them that he was sincere. And they said, by baptism. And just like that Ethiopian eunuch in the Acts of the Apostles, he said, what do I need to do to be baptized? And so they baptized him. And then he asked, who's going to give these sacraments now that we're killing all the bishops and killing all the priests? And they said, we honestly don't know. We need priests. And he said, how does one become a priest? They say, you have to go to seminary. Where's the seminary? They said, Macau. And so he goes all the way to Macau. Says, I'm recently baptized, but I know you need priests to bring the sacraments. And so they accepted him into the seminary. But because the bishops were all on the hit list, and nobody knew from one day to the next whether one would survive, after testing his will, the bishop just ordained him, saying, you've got a lot more to learn, and I trust that you will study. But he ordained him a priest, and they showed him exactly what he needed to do, gave him some books, and back he went. It didn't take long for him to be outed, for him to be arrested, for him to be threatened with death, and for him to be martyred. And this whole process, from being a guard to Bishop Dufresne, to baptism, to going to Macau for seminary, to returning as a priest, and giving the sacraments for people before he would give his own body and blood in response to the Lord who had shed them for him, was 3 months. He went from pagan to famous martyr in 3 months. Today, as we celebrate Mass on St. Keys and St. Augustine Xiaorong's feast day and their 118 companions, we thank the Lord for the gift of their life. We thank the Lord for how he shows his undying chesed to his people, in constantly pouring out his love if only we receive it. And we ask for the grace to be able to proclaim the gospel in words and in actions as faithfully as those who have been lifted to the altar and celebrated throughout the whole world today. Praise be Jesus Christ.